BJ Nathan, Vice Chair, and I represent North Elsweeper.
We must apologize, folks, if you haven't already heard, Registrar Voters is basically using the other room for all kinds of training they have for this time of the year. So we're in here, which is not our normal session, but we are also without a projector. So we're going to be following what we...
One more. Mr. Arena, right?
Yeah.
Great.
You want to introduce yourselves to the folks and then, of course.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Derek Herrera. I am the Associated Students Representative. I serve as the Vice President of External Relations, also known as the Chief Communications Officer for SCC.
With that introduction, let me make one more clarification, but comment. We're very unique out here in the college area that we have San Diego State. And so SDSU has always been a partner in what we do. So we have two members of the college area. Mr. Rada represents the student body, which is very important, as we get their voice in everything we do, as well as a staff member who is not here right now. But that is not common. Other planning areas have it. We are very well represented of the area. And with that, Mr. Higgin, would you like to introduce yourself
and what area you represent?
Ross Higgin.
Yep.
I've been talking areas where I think the commission started.
Want to start back? Good news, folks. We have a quorum. We'll be able to take action on what we're doing. So, actually, we'll start this way and go around. Sir?
Rod Tucker, community member, live in Milwaukee for the last 15 years.
Great.
I'm Sabrina Young, and I'm here with Gerard tonight. I'm a teacher at Pendleton Elementary. I'm also a member of the Kalina Rec Council, which is where I know Sue. And I live in Rolando, and we're here with the presenting a proposal of the proposal.
All right.
I'm Diane Stephen. I live in this area.
Yep. Great.
Miss
Nicole
Sorrigo.
I live in Baja. Douglas Rocker. I just live across the street here.
Oh, great.
I'm Jennifer Hansen. I represent the management company that manages the three apartment complexes right here.
Oh, okay.
I'm Amanda Arriaga. I live at the Diplomat right here.
Perfect.
Magdalena Hernandez, I'm a tenant of the penthouse apartment across the street.
Oh, I'm
we'll
here.
We'll go in the back and we'll finish up with Laura. I can see you, Chair. We'll go in the back.
I'm Ian Arboleda. I'm a resident at a penthouse right next door.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, I'm Hannah Ramirez and I'm a student at SDSU.
Okay.
Laura Rebo from El Cerrito.
Jan Hintzman, from the representative from the library. Welcome, everyone.
Thanks. And the El Cerrito group is a very active community planning group that serves part of the college area, BJ's, as well as part of the eastern area, south of Oakland Park. So welcome, everybody. Well, thank you all, board members, for being here. We've done and got the forum, so we'll get going. The first thing we'll do is we'll have approval of the agenda. Before we start, I'd like to say, Jan, if it's okay with you, and I can move that we pull the item that you were going to talk about and not talk about this time. That was item number new business, new parking opportunity at College of Londo Library.
You're going to pull it?
We're going to pull it, not review it. The reason why is good question. We were asked to support a position. But this is involving potential land acquisition and stuff, and it's not been quite made public or at least a formal offer from the owner to the city or to any other agency. So in recognition of that, we're gonna hold off on that. We'll get to it later. This is the Christmas library. Literally happened days ago. So, yes, sir.
So we're not going to discuss the parking tonight?
We're not, but it'll probably come up in public comment. So we could, well, we can't discuss it in public comment, but it's not going to be an issue, unfortunately.
Okay.
But that's if the board agrees to pull it. It's still on the agenda. That was.
Well, no, you can pull it.
All in favor, board members? Raise your hand. Okay.
Just a quick question.
And abstain.
Just a quick question.
Yes.
So, as a resident in the area, my main concern for today's meeting was about parking. So is that conversation going to happen where we can get more information, or should we review it at a different meeting where we can talk about
we're
it?
We're trying to do it at a different meeting.
Because we were all of our properties were informed that that's why we were coming tonight, was to discuss it.
You want to say something about that, Jane?
Right, I'm going to make a presentation about the parking at the beginning of the meeting as a public comment item. And anyone that's here is welcome to speak up from as a public comment. So stick up.
They can't take action on the board yet.
And there can't be any discussion.
Yeah, we can't.
They can't ask you questions.
No, public comment is right. No questions.
No discussion.
Right. And that's just no discussion by us. Or yes, sir, you had a question you were going to say, sir?
I just had a question. You're referring, when you say parking, you're referring to the 290 feet of space on reservoir or another issue?
What we're referring to really is the development proposal that has actually been approved by the city. The property line comes right up to the edge of the parking right along this alleyway. As a matter of fact, the access off of Montezuma is not owned by the city. It's owned by the public or the private developer, private property owner. That whole thing is going to go away. So there is a long-term agreement for parking, and we don't know what the status of that is with this new proposal. So for years, friends of the library, this group, other groups around have been urging the city to come up with different alternatives that would satisfy and not lose all that parking or access. So now to get to the library, if that were to be developed today, they'd have to go around the Rouse and back and through the back side. So it's a real big issue. And there was, the item really was something that was an opportunity that looks like it's going to come up to expand the parking capabilities within this immediate area. But it's a little too premature. So, okay.
So in public comment, each person gets 2 minutes, up to 2 minutes, to see what they were saying, but there's no discussion, there's no...
Right. Up to 3 is what we normally do, but I might have to call it off. Last meeting, we pulled right to the last minute. We ended up... It was because we had a lot of discussion that I didn't.
So basically, it's not ready to present yet.
It's not ready to present yet.
They don't have information yet to give to the public.
But Jan does have something she wants to talk about. And it was originally Jan.
Right. I want to talk about the parking along.
Well, wait, we're not ready yet.
Let's not yet. So we have a motion to vote on the topic. We already did
that.
We're passing.
No, it's okay. I apologize.
Yeah.
The minutes, folks, it kind of came out earlier. A little earlier, this came out last night. I didn't have any problem with it. Does anybody, if I hear a motion on the minute?
I moved to approve.
For a change.
For a change.
You all got the minutes. I sent them out right now.
Right, yeah.
And often people kind of correct themselves.
If anybody wants to see your copy, it's all passing around.
So,
and
I unfortunately can't find the original meeting. This was a factual amendment, but no difference in meaning. So
okay.
This is.
Well, motion is.
I move to approve the minutes as submitted.
Second. All in favor? No opposed, so it's unanimous approval. Now we're going to get on public comment.
May I?
Oh, yeah. I have board members.
For the people who come up to talk about this particular situation, we're not trying to play a game. We're not playing a switcheroo. Very, very pleased that you're coming. This is the right place to start. So I just want you to know, because there is no official proposal on the board yet, it's the only reason that we're not taking action. We're not ignoring you, and we're not trying to exclude you from the situation. But because there was no official action by the parties involved, we're only going to talk about it. And we would love your input, and we would let them be officially. Please come back. Just remember, your voice is very important. Thank you.
And Ann is very, very good about taking minutes. So anybody that does speak, she will write down the name and what the comment was.
You
better
tell me your name.
Yeah. And I want to emphasize on that, because even though there might not be an action, those minutes we will get, when they get approved next week, they'll be seen in the city in the record. So we'll still have public input on the item, if I'm saying it right.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
So is there a presentation happening today for Harvest Hall?
No.
So good question. The question was, is there going to be a presentation for today? No. So under item new business by 6A, there will be nothing.
So there will be nothing about
Not formally by
no
us
action.
Or the board.
No action.
I do believe Jan has informed that she wants to say something, and she has brought some stuff that she can present. So
and then, where does this final fall in line?
Public comments.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So should you just get a kind of a poll of how many speakers there are, how many people want to speak for public comment? Like just for raising hands to get an idea of how many people want to speak.
That's a good point, yes. So how many do want to speak? So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. So 3 minutes apiece, and we'll have 18 minutes on that. That should work out fine. Yeah. Do you want?
Jan?
Jan.
Jan will get through this.
Yeah. We could do that.
Okay. We have a presentation after that.
We have a presentation for the other item.
Then
right.
All of your other representatives.
Do we have any representatives from the city, though?
Yeah, so we'll be trying. We'll do that together.
Okay.
So let's.
Take a look. 3 minutes?
Yeah, let's start with a public comment.
I have some pictures so we can go through this real fast.
Okay.
There are two things that have happened.
Does anybody else need one?
Several months.
Yes.
Well, I have just one more.
Well, here, and I.
Here you
go.
For anybody else?
Thank you.
Here, just in case someone comes.
Okay.
What are my 3 minutes?
Well,
I brought some pictures, and we're going to go through this really fast. There are two major things that have happened over summer and until now. One is that the City Development Services Division approved the project next door that is 500-some-plus bedrooms. I think it will be 5 stories tall. Anyway, the second thing that happened we'll talk about first, which is very recently our council member announced that the city has agreed with a plan that he suggested to provide time-limited parking along Reservoir Street. And that's the first picture shows 290 feet, which is what he told us it would be. That's the picture. Thank you, your business office for doing that picture. And that's how far it goes. It goes really to the end of the library property. It's space for about 14 cars. And the two-hour parking was intended to provide more space for library patrons to park. However, when this was first proposed in January of 2023, the library board discussed what some problems would be with this parking. Will it be practical parking? So if you turn to the next page, you can see a diagram there that shows Reservoir Drive, starting at the bottom on the yellow line with Reservoir Drive going down to Alvarado Road and the freeway. That road is one straight road. There's no cross streets, no ability for the residents that live on either side of that
other than right along the reservoir to get to reservoir or to get to I-8 and Alvarado Road. So everybody that's in the old parts of the city,
on either side of that yellow line, has to come up to Monsoon or Elkhorn Boulevard to access us the rest of the city. Those are sort of dead end communities there. We felt that the length of Montezuma Road, of Reservoir with no exits made it very difficult. You park at the top near the library, and then to get back, you have to go down all the way to the freeway, and then there's no real legal turnaround there, so you would then go one way or the other to College or 70th Street to come back up. So it once you started down Reservoir, you're committed to about almost 70 miles. Okay. That there's also a steep slope there, and the steep slope is difficult for vehicles to use. It's also difficult for dangerous because it's a speedway and parking enough.
Okay, thank you.
Look at the rest of the pictures, and if you look at the back, they're just surprised about.
Okay. Next speaker. Yes, sir. State your name again.
Hi, so my name's Ian. I'm going to try to make this quick because I have to head out pretty soon. Yes. Arboleda. Arboleda. So I'm not exactly 100% sure. I was in a state what I was in a state before I knew about everything going on with the parking specifically. I was just under the impression that the parking was going to be taken. I didn't know about the new business proposal. However, I do think taking away these spots for the public is going to be detrimental for whether it's guests or students or anyone that's going to these apartments. This is a weird area. It's very safe, but there is occasionally homeless, and I've had my car burglarized a couple times that come around here. I think pushing people that may be guests or maybe residents that are don't have parking spots in these apartments will jeopardize their safety. And I'm very empathetic to homeless people. I'm not disgusted or anything by them, but I have seen some weird stuff around here. I think pushing them further back is going to be a little bit dangerous. I know for other residents that may be 4 or 5 to an apartment because whether they're in school or the military, I've been there before and these parking spots are essential. Likewise, I haven't seen the library parking lot overly crowded to where those spots need to become available, but again, that's something I was thinking about prior to knowing that this parking lot might be getting taken over. So that's all I really have to say. I don't think, again, I'm sorry because my opinion came from just being told, those parking spots are gone, this is what's going to happen. Okay. Anyway, thank you very much. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Sorry. Next person? Anybody?
Yes, my name is Magdalena Hernandez. I am a tenant at the penthouse apartment. So my main point for this, when I received the notice that they were going to get Reservoir Street blocked off for the public, for the library, my main worry is as a female, if I come home late at night, following my routine, get the gym, if my other roommate in my apartment already has my parking space, I'm going to be having to park all the way down the street to down Reservoir, where like you mentioned, there's homeless, as a female, you know, there's a more higher threat. So my thing also is, if a lot of the parking space is going to get removed from the library, what is it that you guys can do if it's like relocating your staff in another place? That way you guys at least get a smaller area where there's a lot of space for the tenants. I've seen a lot of my neighbors have families, they're bringing groceries in. All of Montezuma is red line, so there's no extra parking. Now we're going to have people double parking or going up and down, causing more traffic, and it's just going to be more accidents that may happen because the library is taking more of that space that all of the tenants do need and feel that we, as the tenants, because we're already paying a lot more in rent, it's something that we don't really want to deal with, and it's just going to drive all of our neighbors, myself, into a different areas that we don't want to be in.
Yes.
That's my point.
Good point. Next.
I'm Jennifer Batista from Hanging Fun Osad. It sounds like the library is not really on board with this whole parking situation either, but as a manager of these properties, I can say that, like our residents have stated, you know, they do have only one parking space per apartment, and most of the time, you know, multiple people living in these apartments, like students and families and that have multiple cars. And unfortunately, because of parking situation here in the college area, we don't have availability to give more parking to our residents. So our biggest selling point is, yeah, we only have one space, but Reservoir is open parking. Catoctin is open parking. We understand that there is specialty permits off of Catoctin, but if we start taking away more parking from the main areas, then our residents are not going to have that availability for their guests, for themselves, for anybody. Like Magdalena said, it's going to cause more traffic, more congestion. People are going to be circling the area for parking, which is going to actually cause more pollution too. I mean, if we want to get environmental here, we have potential safety concerns with people walking up and down these streets, especially if you have to go all the way down Alvarado. And then, as Jen mentioned too, you know, Reservoir is a one-way. You can't turn around, and people do it all the time and cause a lot of panic and a lot of issues. We've almost been hit several times with people just randomly doing U-turns in the middle of the street. So I feel like that's going to cause a lot more issues. And ultimately, long-term, it's going to cause issues for the whole community, not just the tenants in our properties. It's going to cause the issues for you guys as well. I feel like tomorrow's meeting at the UWD, or UDW, is going to be more beneficial. Would that be accurate?
Todd and Terry are having a debate.
Oh.
I'm sorry, not Todd, Sean.
Yeah, Sean.
Sean and Terry having a debate.
At the Rolando meeting.
Okay,
yeah. Cool. Well, then I will definitely be going to that. But that's all I have to say is, yeah, I definitely disagree with the parking situation.
Yes, please.
Amanda Arriaga. Arriaga.
Amanda.
Yeah. Just to clarify with the beginning of your presentation, did you say that that's officially decided on already, the 290 feet, or is that still?
No, it's not.
Okay.
He has announced that he's announced it.
Oh, I know we're not supposed to comment, but I will on that because I did get a call from Sean's office today. They're only exploring that option. It's not official. And they're looking at others as well. And that's why I'm glad we're taking notes as comments, because it's vitally important that we don't impact the residents and the people.
I
shouldn't be saying
no. Just the location being right up the top here. I've lived in diplomat apartments for years and years, and I've seen accident upon accident at this crossing right
it's
here. Being right there, I just wanted to, my concern is, well, that it's just going to allow for more clustered traffic, safety, everything. So, if there was an option to even move it down further, maybe, if it had to be, maybe down a little further than right here by the crosswalk, just from everything I've seen over the years.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Iliana Espinosa. I'm also a resident. Iliana.
Okay.
I come to this library all the time and I love it. I have the advantage of just walking. But from across the street, and I will be impacted if, you know, the parking is taken away from the residents, because I'm a single mom. I have my daughter with me, and sometimes, you know, like the other day we were driving up and there was a coyote going, like, down, you know, so if I were to park down there with her, like, you know, coming up the street at dark, and there's some light, but still, you know, like, I'm not afraid of the homeless as much as the coyote. So, like I said, I appreciate the library, and I would like us to be here, like, a longer time and whatever, but I'm in a resident there longer than a patron here, so, you know, that's a concern for me, and that's why I'm here, you know, to voice my opinion on not to take in the parking from us. I, you know, maybe an hour or two that is being used during the day, but already, like they mentioned, there's, like, if you want to park around, you have to have a permit, and, you know, you have to be a resident of those, you know, areas, so there's not that much parking for our visitors or, you know, like, extra roommates that we might have, so that's why.
Yes.
I know I didn't raise my hand before, but
it doesn't matter.
Given the topography and how steep the hill is to get up to the library, this isn't an excellent option, especially, and parking is such a huge, gigantic issue for the entire city right now, and I really do think that their comments should be really taken into consideration. And if they do something, then maybe have that the hours end at 6 or 8 so that the parking's available overnight.
Any other comments? To the board, yeah.
This is important that you do what you're doing right now. Your voices will be heard if you show up. Please keep doing this. And like I said, we can't make an official meeting here. This is not a scam. If there's an official thing, we will get notice out as much as possible. But keep showing up. Make your concerns noted. Thank you.
I will make a public comment on this. As a member of the public, I'm not one of you. I'm also opposed to any idea that new moves this parking here or impacts reservoirs. So we've got to come up with a better solution. And so, and as a group, this board has gone on record, and I have privately gone on record as well as continue. We will see it tomorrow night. That's a good point. The debate tournament. This will probably be one of the issues and questions are asked. Yes.
Against
Ms. Bovier, yeah.
This member of the public was during this debate at the beginning of the year. Because you may not come to a lot of planning board meetings, you shouldn't be thinking that this is the board that makes that decision. That's a decision that's happening downtown in the planning department with maybe some input from your council office and the mayor's office. So those are the places where you need to be expressing your concerns and happiness.
Okay.
Well, the planning board can act as a conduit for this information that usually have representatives who attend those meetings and also listening, but this is not the cyber place.
Understood. Thank you.
Any other public comments on this or any other item that's not on the agenda? Yes.
Well, as somebody who has parked on Reservoir and has had both hits replaced, I can tell you it is sometimes a struggle. Up and down that hill. And if I were a mother with kids in a baby carriage or in a backpack with, you know, kids attached to the back of me, that would be even more so. So think about that. I 100% agree with what I've heard here. Reservoir is not the entity.
Okay, thank you. I mentioned earlier about the SPS SDSU representatives. We had Anna Laura Kim, and she's our board member, and she's representing SDSU as well. So I'm going to go ahead and close public comment. And well, thank you very much. That is helpful. Yeah, we don't make the final decision. We do have influence. Our main purpose as a board is to advise the city on land use decisions. And we like to think that they ignore us, but they do listen more often than not. Okay.
But while everyone's here,
Yeah. Commented
earlier that there's some vacancies on the planning board, and that is open to everyone who lives in our community, whether you own property or you're a renter. And
that's
so correct. You are welcome to stay and listen, and welcome to join the board if you're interested. So if you there's interesting topics and you want to be part of the community, part of the planning process, please stay or please be a part of the planning process.
Okay. Good point. Moving on to representative updates. And along with what you said, we have a lot of representatives, assembly district, congressional, so forth. And we invite them all to have a chance here. Shawnee La Rivera, our District 9 council representative, is represented by a gentleman named Jeffrey Nguyen. Jeff called me earlier, that's why I was calling. And he's not feeling well at all. So he's said he couldn't make it. So, but he did give me the news on the reservoir parking. It's not etched in stone. As a matter of fact, they're having meetings as we speak and looking at other options. So that's good news. You can't say any more than that because it's not finalized. Before I get to SDSU people, is there anybody from the congressman's office or other assembly members or anything here to speak? Yes, please do, and welcome. And you don't have 3 minutes. You have. You have 2 hours. No, no, no.
Hi everyone. My name is Karen. I'm a senior community representative for Supervisor Montgomery Seth of the County of San Diego, County District 4. Just a couple updates that I want to share. Some policy updates that have been happening at the county. On August, that have happened over the summer from now. On Tuesday, August 27th, the Board of Supervisors supported the Supervisor Montgomery Seth board letter to enhance equity and community strength through procurement and technical assistance programs. This just really means that the county will streamline the process for nonprofits and small businesses to partner with the county. This will also increase the county's percentage. That they partner with small businesses and nonprofits, it would increase that. So it just creates a bigger opportunity for nonprofits and small businesses to, you know, have contracts with the county. So we're really excited about that. You might have heard that we have established a partnership with University of California San Diego Health for behavioral health services at the East Campus Medical Center. This would bring 30 dedicated psychiatric acute inpatient beds and a crisis stabilization unit. These are very needed beds that we are low on, so we're really excited to bring 30 on with this partnership with UCSD Health.
You were talking about
that's
here. Former Robert Rado Hospital down here that's now UC East, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Groundbreaking on a new park in Spring Valley, Calabo Park, off of Calabo Drive, near Hamilton. do in April. If you have a nonprofit or you know anyone that has a nonprofit that is looking to fund a community program, community events, looking for capital projects, we welcome you to apply. You can go to our website, supervisormonicamontgomerystuff.com. There are a couple things that you need to submit, but overall, not too complicated. Last thing, if you know anyone in Spring Valley that loves parks, we have a vacancy for the San Miguel Local Park District Citizen Advisory Board. They just look at the parks in Spring Valley. We have a vacancy, so again, if you know anyone in Spring Valley, family, friends, someone who loves parks, please send them my way. I have a one-pager, just information about the supervisor, the neighborhood that she represents, the board she is on, and then all of our staff contact information. My email is on here. And then just some quick services, county services, scheduling a request with the supervisor, visiting our website, and signing up for our newsletters. So I'll leave these here for you all to get.
Sharon, and thank you very much. I know I send you these all the time, so thank you for attending. You've been really good about that. Any questions for Karen?
No, really great information, and I would love to take a flyer. I'm actually going to go ahead and retrieve myself, and I'll hope to visit you guys again in the future. Thank you so much.
I do have a question on the grant. So is it just for nonprofits?
It's for nonprofits, public agencies, and government agencies.
Okay.
Does it include the city of San Diego as well, or is it just the county?
For the grants?
Yes.
The grants are open to anyone that is a nonprofit in the county of San Diego.
Including the city.
Anything within her district.
Right.
You don't have to be in the footprint. You can apply for the neighborhood reinvestment.
That's a good
thing. Yeah. If it's within her.
Yeah.
If they have a nonprofit status, encourage them to apply.
Yeah. Like we applied for one for the CEO.
Okay. Board, do you have any questions? Or Jan, do you have a question?
Do you have a card? Oh, on the.
Oh, sorry. It's on the stamp.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Karen. I'll let you two fight over who wants to go first. Kiss either.
Okay, so pretty small report today. So SDSU will be hosting two voting centers. One is the alumni center that's off 55th in House Tech Block. So if you want to vote in person, the voting hours will be through Saturday, November 2nd from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. till Tuesday, November 5th. 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then we have a ballot drop-off box in the ASIC Student Union, and that's open from now up until November 4th. 24 hours, so up until that date, you should be able to drop off your absentee ballot or anything you need. And then also the ASIC Walk Hungry campaign is going on, which is our biggest philanthropy event for the Associated Students, which basically has an initiative to fight food insecurity and raise money to support students as well as our Greater San Diego area to fight food insecurity for all our folks in the county. I'll leave the flyers in the back over there just in case you want to donate or want to know any information, but that's it for my report.
And what's the target?
Our target this year is $100. And then if we reach that, I think we'll reach $1 million in lifetime donations. Mm-hmm.
Are they doing
around this year? I'm not sure.
I have to touch base, but they've been doing some of those. We'll check in on that, and thank you to those who have supported the local businesses, the Ashford Fundraisers, we really appreciate it. We also will have a voting center in the Love Library, so lots of opportunities to vote on campus. I hope to see some of you there. And I want to bring up the College Area Community Council, Associate Students, and District 9 Community Cleanup.
This year it will be November 10th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We sent out the flyer today to Julie and Sue, and all the folks helping us on that. So once that's approved, I will send it to this group as well.
Sure.
We hope to see all of you there. Last semester, the students really loved going out with the community member. You know, DJ was there with you, Steven. Picking up trash, it was just a really good bonding experience, and we now hope to do this every single semester. So we hope to see you all there, and that's all the updates we can have.
Where is that?
Yeah. It is at the student union. At 11 to 1, you will have donuts.
What part of the process are we in terms of raising the number of stories in the dorms and stuff? What's going on there? What part of the process?
I have no updates from Evolvia. Everything is on their website, and we just finished the public comment period. Once I have updates, I will bring that up. Thank you.
Any questions from the board?
I forgot to make a comment, if I can make a quick comment.
Sure.
Probably the dirtiest street in our entire community is Montezuma, going downhill toward Fairmont. And I got a quote to have it cleaned up once a month. And I'm going to try to get the property owners that live up above to divvy the cost up. I'll let you know what happens.
What's the quote?
$300.
So
and not only
all?
They'll clean up the garbage, but they'll also trim back the vegetation.
Yeah. Okay.
And for our cleanup, last year we sent some routes to Julie and the board members, and they were able to pick and choose where they felt it was most in the need of the community. We can go ahead and do that this year as well. Because you all know where it accumulates most.
Just saying, I have some leverage.
Okay. That concludes our item number 5, and of course, wire out. We pulled the parking things.
Okay.
So that's going to bring us to the next one, which is a real biggie, and I'll let Sue, you want to take this one?
Well, I can. So I.
So
we brought our friends there. So they presented at the last park meeting at the Las Colinas del Sol park meeting. They gave an informational item, and it's then actually going to be on the next month's Colinas del Sol meeting for an action item to support so that it'll go to the next Park and Recreation Board meeting, because they're like planning boards,
right.
There's little park recreation groups,
right.
And then it goes to a larger Park and Recreation Board meeting to support it. But what they're doing now is collecting support letters of support.
Right.
So they came here to give you some information items about
changing
the name of the park.
Perfect. Before I start that, what our board, what you see I've got is an action item to whether or not we want to support that. So.
Yeah.
I think we all know where we're going to go on this.
Yeah. But they're here.
So I just did want to say he's going to take it over.
And technically, Clay Park and what was formerly Clay School is not in our boundaries of this planning group, but they're our neighbors, and it's really the only park.
Other than Hardy, we don't have any.
Yeah, so we use the park regularly, because they're our neighbors, and so.
Yeah.
And I give a lot of updates on the status of the renovation of that park. So. We want them to come and tell us what's going on.
Perfect. Take it away, folks.
Yeah. So I'll read my thoughts really fast, and then we'll just go hopefully to be labor day. So I'm Sabrina Young, and when our grassroots community group, the name of our group was Not Okay with Clay, it included some staff members at Clay Elementary at the time, some parents, some community members, RCC board members, and Colina Rec Council members. When we started this process about 3 years ago to rename Clay Elementary and Clay Park, my friend Cara and I attended a Park and Rec budget meeting advocating for funds for Clay Park improvement.
At this meeting, we asked about the park and the city's policy regarding renaming the park. At that time, Andy Field, the director, he directed us to policy 920. Andy explained that it might also be helpful for us to focus on renaming the school first, as the city would sometimes follow or look upon the lengthy effort required for that process as legitimate for the renaming of a joint use field park shared with the school. So we started the school, we started with the school knowing that the ultimate goal was renaming all things Henry Clay. According to policy 920 procedures, the advocates, which is our group, need to submit a renaming proposal written packet to the director, Andy. And as per policy 920, our proposal needs to include reasons for the proposed name, including the including speaking directly to the criteria in the policy, written documentation outlining community support, which is part of where your letter would help, and justification for changing the name. As part of this process, we are here to share our proposal to rename Clay Park, which we will be asking you to vote in support of, or to write a letter in support of. The outcome of this group's letter will be included in our packet. Okay, Gerard?
I have four copies that I can share with you. All right, so according to policy 920, our written statement and documentation to explain the reasons for the proposed name, including the discussion of the criteria identified in this policy. Are you just making
sure?
Perfect. All right, so our proposal. So the reason for the proposed name, location, the park is located adjacent to the recently renamed Burkeville Thornton Elementary School, and it is going to go with the school. Prior to the school name change, both the school and the park were named Clay Elementary and Clay Park. Outstanding individuals. Dr. Bertha Pendleton grew up in Gaston, Alabama during the time of Black Americans were denied the resources enjoyed by others to be successful and the full lives of citizens of the United States. As a young girl, Bertha proved herself to be smart, involved, resourceful, and determined. When the segregated library did not have the information she needed, she requested and was given permission to utilize the public library after closing hours to access extensive reference materials at important for the public library. She was a valedictorian of her high school graduation class and attended Knoxville College in Tennessee, graduating with honors with a Bachelor of Science degree in biology. She earned a master's degree from the United States International University and a doctorate of education from the University of San Diego. Bertha was born and spent the first 5 years of her life in Troy, Alabama, the same community where her cousin, Congressman John Lewis, was later grew up. Her elementary and high school education was spent in Gaston, Alabama. From these humble beginnings, she grew up to eventually become the superintendent of the 8th largest school district in the country, which is the San Diego Unified School District. Dr. Pendleton spent her early career endeavors as a cartographic engineer before becoming a third grade teacher. She became a middle school math teacher when she and her husband and family moved to San Diego. Her success in the classroom has led her to become an administrator, won the roles of counselor, vice principal, principal, district coordinator, assistant superintendent, deputy superintendent, and finally superintendent. She was the first female and the first Black American selected as superintendent of the San Diego Unified School District. During her tenure, 14 schools were constructed in urban areas. Bertha also has the distinction of having been president of Epsilon Psi Omega, the local chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, for two terms in 1981 and 1984. Her work in the community was often a part of the motto of the Kappa Sorority, which is service to all mankind. She received recognition from many community organizations for her volunteer spirit and tireless efforts in community service. To this day, she is a role model for all San Diego Unified School District students. Significant events. After a multi-year community engagement process, the San Diego Unified School District Board of Education unanimously voted to rename Henry Clay Elementary School to Bertha O. Pendleton Elementary School on April 20, 2024. The initiative to rename Henry Clay Elementary and Clay Park began with our Not Okay with Clay petition started on March 10, 2023. Henry Clay has saved over 100 people in the state of Kentucky. He was known as a great compromiser for significant compromises that sustained slavery, including 1820, admittance of Missouri to the Union with no restriction on slavery as a compromise for Maine becoming a free state. Second, New Mexico and Utah as territories in 1850 with no restriction on slavery in exchange for California's admittance as a free state. Third, the abolishment of slave auctions, but not slavery, in Washington, D.C. And fourth, 1850 Fugitive Slave Act requiring federal officials in northern states to arrest and return people accused of escaping slavery. The community found that the continued celebration of a noted white supremacist and slavery advocate was not acceptable in our neighborhood and came together to engage in a restorative process. Prior to naming the school, the community engaged in multiple dialogue forums and received endorsement from City Council President Guido Rivera. Those efforts and more ultimately resulted in a successful renaming of the elementary school adjacent to this park. In addition to that proposal, I also want to share some important information regarding what got us to this point. And one, we talked about the petition, so we had 1,244 signatures to the community from our school, from the Long Street Fair, from going door to door, like we've done the work to get the signatures and get the support we needed. When we looked at the history of what was happening, so the park was named in the 80s, but it was named after the school. The school was named in 1957. 1957 was 3 years after Brown versus Board of Education, which is when schools were forced to desegregate. And so what happened as a response to that is many schools, many places throughout the country, we brought the monuments, named buildings for Confederate soldiers, Confederate generals, and other slave owners as a way to make everyone that was, make black people feel uncomfortable, make them feel unwelcome. Because these things were not named that before. They named them then because this was a direct response to that action. And then the other thing I wanted to also point out, we have two Henry Clay parks in the United States that have already been renamed, and one in Paducah, Kentucky. We also have one in Arlington, Virginia. Both of those communities saw Henry Clay's history and said, we're not okay with this. We want a restorative name for our community. So if Kentucky and Virginia can get it, San Diego definitely needs to get it as America's finest city. And that's all I have. Any questions from the group?
Board member?
Well, most of you are younger than me, but I went to school at Henry Clay, and everything you said about him was right. I urge everybody, it should be a unanimous vote.
Yeah.
Henry Clay was not one of the nice guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gosh, I'm so taken aback because honestly, I was a little bit nervous. Just, and I was nervous, I've been nervous when I hear people that are alumni, because sometimes there's a nostalgia that
people don't,
and so I just, wow.
No, I didn't go to Henry Clay Elementary. I went to school with Henry Clay.
You went around
the appreciate. I do appreciate the comment on how the park was named.
Yeah.
School. I did not know.
Yeah.
But,
so you're making a motion that we
recommend the letter. Yeah. Do we have any other?
I move.
Well, hold on. Do we have any comments from the public on this issue? Yes.
I knew Bertha Pendleton, and she is marvelous.
Oh.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You worked with her. I knew her very well a collegial person.
Right.
I just want to thank you
for all your work.
Yes,
absolutely.
When I read that about her, I did not know that she was that accomplished. Mm-hmm. I knew she was, but only anecdotally. So. Yes, sir.
Also, thank you. I'm a local San Diego native. I've known about this issue for quite a while, as well as just like the historical context. So it's really important and it's really critical to see that something like this is changing, not only just the park, but just it means so much just for the titling, because that's a recognition. But recognition means everything, especially not only within San Diego, within the state of California, within the world. So I really appreciate y'all bringing up this issue, especially with all the processes and all the time that it may take. Y'all are doing the good work and the hard work.
To that point, you two submit the package to Andy. How long is it going to take? Does the council have to approve it?
Yes. So it goes from my understanding, so it's still our next month, it goes to the Colina del Sol Rec Board, and then there's not another, it misses the timing of the Park and Recreation Board, so I don't think that's until January is the next one for that, and then they will send it to the city council after that. So probably not until like February.
Okay, but it's within the foreseeable
future.
And we were being supported in a way that by Andy kind of coaching us and saying,
go the school route first, and then we know that we've been very involved in Clay Park improvements, so we know that signage will be changing and everything. So we kind of, you know, they're like, step on the gas now, because we don't want to redo this. We want to do it all at once.
Yeah, and so as we do the renovation for Clay Park, we want a new, the new sign.
The new name.
Right.
The
updated sign.
Right. And just wonderful that you all support the restorative choice for the name for Dr. Bertha Pendleton, because we know that Rolling Hills was a choice, and we were very intentional about pushing back against that, and Shawnee La Rivera supported us as well in that, and so it's just really wonderful when you come to a group where you don't really know or have personal connections with the people, and everybody just nods, so thanks.
PJ, was that a motion?
Well, I was about to say I'll make the formal motion.
Go ahead.
I'll make the formal motion to provide a letter of support for the renaming of the new Clay Park.
We have a second?
Second.
PJ. I'll go backwards. Any abstentions? None? Any no's? Okay, by default. Pass it. Thank you very, very much. I prepared something more to modify, edit, and say, slowly, you're an illiterate bum, don't give me.
And I think that you really just want it for the Park and Rec Board. You don't need it for the Connecticut Association meeting.
No,
they already are like, yeah, we're.
So, letter two, that's the point.
And we will also engage your minutes so that.
Sure. That will take to the next month, so we can have maybe draft minutes.
But that should be okay, because that next
week. As long as it's labeled draft, it should be true.
Yeah. Okay. Now we get on to our delegate reports.
And that's really the only thing that's coming up on next month.
Thank you very much for your patience.
Absolutely. For Kalina. Though, just so you know, that. The Kalina pool will be open this winter, so it's on the rotation for being the one that's going to be open, because it was closed for over a year. It's their turn to be open this winter. So,
yeah.
I exercise out there before. It is fun. They've been closed for about a month.
But they opened back up because Crocker and Hoover are doing their swim classes there now. So, you know, they rotate. Yeah. Only a few pools are open in the wintertime within the city, so this pool will be the one that's open for the winter. It'll be closed. Thank you. Christmas.
Hopefully we're here. Did you have anything else?
No.
I was out of town for the community planners meeting, and so I didn't go. BJ was new on my behalf, but I think he got busy and did not go. So. Did you want to give us an update? Please do. Laura,
one topic was the presentation that you guys were given last month about the increase in, or the trash pickup and what the fees are going to be based on. And there was a question about how they count the ballots. And by state statute, the rules are, the ballots go out to everybody. Say that there's 500,000 San Diegans who are getting the ballots. Even if 20,000 vote to say no, don't increase the taxes, and 30,000 are...
Attention returned, library patrons, the time is now 7:30, and the library will be closing in 30 minutes. All public computers will shut down in 15 minutes. Please print, save, or otherwise finish what you are doing soon. Thank you.
Even though the 20 would be a super majority of the two, it would be 2/3 of the 30,000, it's not over 50% of the 500,000 that were mail. The 500,000 is the threshold. It has to be 50% of the 500,000. And realistically, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Again, has been 50% of 500,000.
Yeah, not the returned votes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I know that's how the state statute is written, and there are a lot of people. We're one of two cities in the entire state that do not have pay for our trash. Right. And a lot of people are for it, particularly when you think that you could maybe get services like we're not getting now, like you could get regular big item trash pickups, maybe once a year, where we don't, I mean, how many years on end do we go for big item pickups and we have to do all these special things? So that we can, it can be tailored to what we really want a little bit better. But it sounds like there's a lot of people who are supporting the fee, partly because it raises up, it releases money for the city. I think it's $600 to $800 million. And even though it's general fund money, it can't be necessarily directed into things we would want.
60 to 80 million. 60, 80?
Oh, thank you. Okay. And the other point is they were trying to figure out how much per month it would be. And they're saying 20, 25, 30, 40, you know, that range per month for the full services. So that's what that meeting was. And then the second topic was... Encanto Planning Group has changed
its name to Joyous Valley.
I was just going to say it changed its name to Joyous Valley.
In April of 2018.
Right. Actually, Yvonne is the expert on this. Oh. And you were there. Why don't you go ahead and give us a recap?
Yeah.
She's been helping them a lot, so I'm going to defer to Yvonne.
Joyous Valley Community Planning Group did a name change officially to the city. In the books as of April 2018.
Community plan update.
This happened.
Wait, are we talking Encanto or Choice Valley?
It's now called Choice Valley.
Encanto is only a little piece, like El Cerrito is a little piece of the college area. It's called Choice Valley Community Planning Group.
Right, okay.
If their effective name change went from Encanto Neighborhoods to Joyous Valley Community Planning Group, April 2018. Two things happened that were done at the community planning group, that's for all the planning groups to get together. One happened in the fall of 2019. And the other one happened about a year and a half later, where instead of going through the planning process, two footnotes were added to the municipal code that changed their zoning from a residential 1-2 to a 1-7 and changed their lot size from 20,000 square feet to putting it to 5,000 per dwelling unit, 5,000 square feet per dwelling unit. Didn't go through the planning process.
Because it was, the community plan amendment, when they were doing their update a few years ago, there's some parcels of land that they designated the city to try and acquire for parks, because they are totally deficient in parks and rec, totally. And so they've been looking at these acres, how many, 15, 20?
Because Clover Street, there's five acres there, and then there's the other one that HDR Nexus does.
What we've talked about at the meeting.
But we talked about it in the CPC meeting because...
Yeah, we don't need to get the weeds of that.
So. No, just the problem is that when the city did the update to the land use code, or the municipal code, they put in an asterisk. They didn't really discuss it with the community planning group, and they did the change that Giovanni just talked about. So it's a huge problem for that area.
They didn't do any, well.
And CPC is going to send a letter to
support. They are
The CPC is sending a letter to support this group.
Okay.
But that was the other thing. And, you know, it just reminds us that we have to watch our updates. Because this asterisk was right there.
Yeah, that's not how you change
That's not how you do it.
Only had four entries.
Thank you.
And they inserted two of these.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll move right along. And that was it. So I will be at the next meeting. Yes.
Well, you have the next meeting as a whole.
Yeah.
So the library's not going to be open. That's what I should say.
Okay, okay. Not this meeting, but the next CPC.
No, but this meeting here is a holiday.
That's
November 11th is a holiday.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Veterans Day.
Library closed.
We're all off.
Yeah, we're
on
off.
Vacation.
You're technically
yeah.
speaking.
I'm out of town.
You know what? Technically speaking, we can only have one bi meeting a year under the new thing. It's a holiday. We won't have a meeting. Is it November?
Yeah, but are you going to meet in December?
What?
So this is your last meeting of the year?
No, we'll meet in December. We'll have to meet in December.
We have another meeting.
We actually did. You're right.
We had a high one.
We had a special meeting. I canceled and then we had a special meeting.
We have December 9th.
Yeah.
So we will not be meeting then. Well, not for a poster. Where is it next meeting? Oh, there it is.
It says November 11th.
Cool. Thank you. You know, us retired people, we have
so
no idea what kind of stuff. Is today Friday?
Yeah.
the second
Monday of December.
That's not
our turn.
We're well aware of
K-Hall. Actually, cool.
I will be taking transcendental the trail on that day.
Really? I make a move that we adjourn the meeting. Whether I get a second or not, we're done.
I would say that it's okay we're not meeting the 11th because the 10th we're all going to be together picking up trash. So
that's
it's like
true.
We're having a meeting.
I will be hiking
and the day four.
How
am
I
doing?
35.
Yeah.
You know what that means?
48.
Yes. A lot of that property is owned.